Chapter 3. Cry not outright, for that were children's guise, but let thy tears fall trickling down thy face, and weep so long until thy blubbered eyes may see in sun the depth of thy disgrace. Oh, shake thy head, but not a word, but mum. The heart once dead, the tongue is stroken dumb. Within days of Anne Boleyn's execution, every evidence of her queenship was gone. Her coat of arms was removed from linens and liveries and from the royal barge. Her servants were dispersed, many of them joining the king's engorged household. Her debts, among them bills for velvet kirtles and purple satin caps for her little daughter, were paid and buried in the comptroller's accounts. And her throne was filled by another woman. When Elizabeth was next brought to court, a pale, sweet-faced lady with a prim mouth and mild brown eyes sat at her father's side, and when this lady turned her mild eyes on the king's younger daughter, there was more pity in them than respect. For Anne's child was the only ineradicable proof of her existence, and as such she seemed to incarnate her mother's dark memory. For years Anne's enemies had called her the Great Whore. Now all that was left of her was the child they called the Little Whore, a thin, fair-skinned girl with delicate features and lashes and eyebrows so light they gave her a startled look. The new queen, Jane Seymour, was kind to her, but kinder to her half-sister Mary, who was given the seat of honor at her side in the dining hall while Elizabeth was placed out of sight. And there was an unmistakable difference in the way the courtiers looked at her, now frowning to themselves as they scrutinized her features, now whispering to one another, now turning their faces away as if to avoid all contact with a tainted being. Only a month had passed between the arrest of Queen Anne and the king's marriage to Queen Jane. And during those whirling days, so much had happened so quickly that no one had even begun to digest it. The court was alive with rumor and conjecture, much of it centered on the late queen's discredited child. "Here are so many tales," wrote Lord Hussey, a staunch enemy to Anne and recently Mary Tudor's chamberlain, "I cannot tell what to write." The circumstances leading to Anne's conviction lent themselves to much...